do you want to do when you grow up? When we were young, it's a question we were often asked. As we get older, our passions become clearer, our pursuits become careers, and if we're diligent, we begin to plan for the life we want to live. That's why, at Ameriprise Financial, we ask what's most important to you. Starting with our confident retirement approach, your Ameriprise Financial advisor will ask questions that help you arrive at a customized plan that allows you to realize your goals today, tomorrow, and throughout retirement. With the right financial advisor, life can be brilliant. Call Michelle Heide and Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 16 Lee Street, Units 1B and 1C in Clinton, New Jersey. The confident retirement approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, a registered investment advisor.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
A second suspect still being sought for yesterday's mass shooting at a popular food festival in Northern California that leaves three people dead. The shooter killed by police makes four, and at least 15 people were wounded.
We were standing there, we're in the restroom, we walk out, I literally turn like this, and he's standing right there with this rifle. He's getting ready to put the bullets in it, and he just starts shooting. He's walking towards the tent where we were working.
Among those killed, a six-year-old boy. Police say the second suspect in some way helped the gunman. The president just condemned the horrific mass shooting, in his words. The president in the Rose Garden for a bill signing ceremony for the 9/11 Victims Compensation Fund bill. He's flanked by police and fire officers who responded to the 9/11 terrorist attacks in Lower Manhattan on 9/11. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
At Walgreens, we know that your day doesn't stop for diabetes. So when you've got places to go and people to see, count on Walgreens every day to get expert diabetes advice 24/7. Find all major brands of testing supplies like Walgreens True Metrics in-store and online. And download tools to help you stay on track, like our 5-star mobile app with Pill Reminder. At Walgreens, we are your diabetes go-to. Stop by and talk to your pharmacist today. Walgreens, trusted since 1901.
Here's a great deal on MyPillow. When you go to MyPillow.com, click on the two-pack special, type in promo code USA, you'll get two MyPillow premium pillows for $69.98. Now, that's only $34.99 a pillow. You will not get that price anywhere at retail. It's the lowest price ever offered on radio or TV. And like all MyPillow products, 10-year warranty, 60-day money-back guarantee. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the two-pack special, use my promo code USA.
A tropical storm moving towards Hawaii is forecast to become Hurricane Eric late today. It's too early to know whether it will directly threaten the islands. Dan Coats will be leaving his position as Director of National Intelligence in a few weeks, and President Trump says he's nominating Republican Texas Congressman John Ratcliffe to succeed Coats as DNI. Ratcliffe had a testy series of exchanges with the former special counsel Robert Mueller at a hearing last week.
Respectfully, Director, it was not the special counsel's job to conclusively determine Donald Trump's innocence or to exonerate him, because the bedrock principle of our justice system is a presumption of innocence. It exists for everyone. Everyone is entitled to it, including sitting presidents.
Top Senate Democrat Chuck Schumer says it's a big mistake for the president to let such a partisan player as Ratcliffe into a role requiring nonpartisanship. And this is USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less, guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
Montana authorities say the body of a 2-year-old boy found over the weekend is that of the child of a couple who died in a murder-suicide. The bodies of Hannah Janiak and Daniel Salcido of Medford, Oregon, were found after a police chase on July 25th. Police say Salcido had killed Janiak with a single gunshot, and then he turned the gun on himself. The toddler's body was found in the West Fisher Creek area. The couple went missing on July 11th, the same day Joniak was to have begun a jail term for burglary. U.S. and Chinese trade negotiators are resuming talks this week in an effort to end a year-long trade war. Trump administration negotiators flying into Shanghai today for the first face-to-face talks since the two nations declared a truce at last month's G20 summit. Many analysts don't expect a lot of progress from these two-day talks. Government officials and business leaders are hoping the two sides can at least agree on so-called goodwill gestures and lay some groundwork for future negotiations. And The Lion King still at the top of the box office, the remake of the 1994 Disney movie finishing in the top spot for the second straight week, earning another $75.5 million. Coming in second, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, the Quentin Tarantino movie, which sold just over $40 million of tickets. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Our local weather here at huntertonchamberradio.com. 88 outside right now, sunny today. Highs could be in the lower 90s when you get done, dropping into the high 60s tonight. Chance of showers Tuesday evening. Otherwise, partly cloudy, low around 69. Highs will be in the 90s Tuesday during the day. Showers and thunderstorms likely on Wednesday after 2 p.m. Could get a little bit of heavy rain, and then Wednesday night, more of the same, clearing up on Thursday, and then possibly back again on Friday. Saturday, chance of showers and thunderstorms, maybe only 30%. Cloudy Saturday night and clear on Sunday. Stay tuned for Chef Bill's Table.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Chef Bill's Table. I'm your host, Bill Kinslow, here at the Chamber, getting together on Monday mornings and also in the archives and a couple of rewinds. So, get together to talk about food events. So, summer, full swing right now, well into it. Nice hot weather, a little hot in the kitchen for us, though, the workers who toil away feeding our people, and possibly at home, people, you may not feel like you're not going to tackle a pot roast in the middle of summer. People kind of gravitate toward lighter food, grilling. I know we think sometimes maybe lighter sauces. I know my father always used to say it was mayonnaise season in the summer, but we'd like to suggest some things that kind of leave the mayonnaise out, or at least whenever possible. Looking to not weigh things down. I know the last week I was thinking about Tex-Mex food. Of course, a lot of cheese involved in there. Times this week, the Sunday Times, a nice like a Korean version of chicken parm. Americans kind of brought cheese over there and when the pizza chains went there, people, you know, all of a sudden started eating more cheese. So this is a spicy red sauce chicken gochujang with mozzarella melted. And cheese does, dairy does calm down the heat with spicy foods. That's one nice thing about it. So we're going to talk about some things that maybe aren't as spicy, although hot foods are nice. It makes you perspire, cools you off, right, with the evaporation. And also remember to keep up your salt, too. When you're losing a lot of liquid, you do lose salts, and keep up your keep up the sodium and the potassium. So I was looking, of course, for ideas from traditionally warmer climates for food. And also, actually, I'm going to talk about gazpacho today. One of those things you don't even have to cook. It's great, right? Nice and refreshing, and you can have customized versions for yourself. We make a pretty good one at Jake's. We started, you know, of course, once the summer bounty is in, the nice ripe tomatoes. You need ripe vegetables for it, although there are other versions. There's a version just with almonds and grapes. And apparently, traditionally, there would be a little bit of fresh bread bits in there. No crust on the bread, but to help thicken it a little bit. But we're going to think about, gazpacho, and then maybe a nice vegetable slaw that's more of a vinaigrette. We make at the restaurant. And again, you can vary the vegetables in it, but gives you a little bit a different option than having mayonnaise on everything. Not that mayonnaise is bad, but, you know, we try to, sometimes we don't want to overdo it. So the gazpacho originated in Andalusia, which is way south of Spain. Of course, that nice, it's warm climate. And it's one of those, we serve it as a soup, probably was more considered a salad. And probably, if you're not having lettuce or you're not growing lettuce, you're using other vegetables. So you could think of it as kind of a vegetable salad in kind of a liquid form. Of course, in Andalusia, some of the heavier foods of the north, more of the roasts and especially pork products. Of course, Andalusia was more influenced by or inhabited by Muslims, people that maybe traditionally didn't have pork, although they do make nice chorizos and things like that. It wasn't a mainstay of the diet. More seafood. They're right on the coast. And actually looking at fried fish. Apparently, even in the summer, you think of fried food as being heavy, but the way they do it there is very light. And, of course, you need absolutely fresh fish and good oil, and the right temperature. And we know from talking about deep frying, not too many at one time, maintain the temperature. And these are little tidbits best eaten right away while they're still crispy. So the coating, so before we get into the gazpacho, the frying, we do kind of practice this at Jake's with our chicken tenders. We use a flour mix that is part all-purpose flour, and then we use a batter mix in there that has corn flour in it. And before I kind of figured out that little trick, is because the batter mix has a little bit of leavening in it, too. It keeps the coating nice and light. Would mix cornstarch with flour. And the reason for this, of course, in experimenting, I used to do it, say for fried calamari or zucchini strings. Helps repel the fat a little bit. And I was reading up on it, and the higher gluten, high protein flours with the gluten that absorbs fat, and it's a little heavier coating, so you want to lighten it up. And the best thing, of course, is a lower protein flour, like cake flour. Cake flour can contain a little bit of cornstarch in it anyway. You could kind of simulate it if you mix cornstarch with regular flour. Then you'll get the lower the gluten, the protein content, and get a lighter coating. So for the seafood for this, of course, fresh fish, they would keep the fish in ice water, keep it fresh, keep it nice and firm. And when you're ready to fry, you take the fish out of the ice water and don't dry it completely. You want a little bit of liquid there so the flour sticks to the fish. We do it, again, with our chicken tenders. You know, they're kind of, they're a wet product anyway, so we don't do a breading process unless people request it. They want breaded tenders, that's fine. We like the lighter coating because you don't end up with too much sauce absorbing. You can actually taste the chicken, even dipped in the hot sauce. And so with this seafood and small pieces, they would traditionally use olive oil. I mean, you can use a different oil if you like. You need the oil fairly hot, at least 350, 360 degrees. I wouldn't use extra virgin oil, but, you know, olive oil for the flavor is nice. But if you like other types of oil, that's fine. Canola oil is very neutral. Peanut oil, if you can have it, would be good flavor. Sunflower oil. But let's say, you know, you have your olive oil. You flour the fish, and all you really do is you can season the flour, but they would prefer to season the product. And just with a little salt and maybe pepper. Pepper's good afterwards. You don't want to cook black pepper too much, but a little bit of salt and pepper, if you like, on the fish, and then dredge it in the flour. And a few pieces of at a time, let them swim in the oil. You don't want to crowd it. You don't want to lower the temperature too much. And then, of course, right away, it would be served more like street food would be in a paper cone, something to absorb the fat. So nice, simply fried food. If you have the means, even on your outside grill, a lot of them have burners now, to get a pot of oil going. And remember, don't fill the pot more than halfway. You don't want it to boil over. You want to allow for the displacement of the food that's going in. And then a nice, I like to use the spider, what they call the spider, that you get usually with a wok set. It's got a wooden handle and then the little round, almost like a strainer, a loose strainer. It's good for fishing things out of oil. And the wooden handle doesn't heat up with constant contact with the oil. If you use something with a metal handle, of course, like a slotted perforated spoon, the spoon's going to heat up and you might burn your hand. So the wooden handle, we call the spider, that's the best thing for fishing things out of the oil. And a wok would be actually a good utensil to use for this. Fill it up a certain height with oil. You've got the wide sides, so it's really not going to spill over. And it's a very, very good vessel for deep frying. Plus, the steel wok, thin steel, would conduct the heat very well, so you get good temperature control.
In all the time I've known you, I still don't know what you mean. The weekend at the college didn't turn out like you planned.
So for a gazpacho, initially made in a mortar and, with a mortar and pestle, before all the implements we have now. And the tomatoes were, of course, seeded, and you can peel them too. Not necessary if you use a blender or a food processor. It depends on how refined you want your dish. But it would be tomatoes pulverized with a little bit of pieces of crustless fresh bread. Garlic would go in there. Some salt that will help pulverize the garlic, and then some good olive oil. And you finish with maybe a little bit of water if you need to, of course, adjust for salt. You could put peppers or pimentos in there or chopped onion, and we always like a little bit of red wine vinegar in there. And, of course, you could have something that's fairly smooth, leave it at that, and then traditional garnishes would be maybe diced cucumbers, peppers, even hard-cooked eggs, a little chopped veg garnish, kind of reinforce what's in there. Now, apparently, along in the 50s or so, the electric blenders appeared on the scene, and people started using those, and that, of course, speeds up the whole process. Gives you a little bit of a different product. I know we use the immersion blender in ours. We'll put all the ingredients in a pot and then use the stick blender. And you do get, you know, it gets a little bit light-colored because there's air going into it. So you always want to let it sit. And it's a good idea to let gazpacho sit a little while anyway. Refrigerate it. Let it settle down. We do put a little bit of tomato juice in ours instead of water. It just reinforces the tomato flavor. But basically, the blender came along. And, of course, another way to do it, at least with the tomatoes, if you don't want to peel and seed them, is to chop them roughly and use a food mill with the fine blade on it, the fine holes to leave behind the seeds and the skins. And you just get your nice tomato pulp. We like to use plum tomatoes for the gazpacho. And, you know, your proportions can be whatever you want. If you have a couple of cucumbers and a couple of green peppers, maybe half a dozen or so nice plum tomatoes, depending on the size. And again, if you're using a food mill, you can just take off the core from the stem end and cut them maybe in quarters and then pass them through the food mill. If you want to peel and seed them, fine, in the blanch them in the hot water for 60 seconds, cool them off, slide the skin off. You cut them horizontally and kind of fish out the seeds, and then you end up with a nice meat of the tomato. Small red onion. We use lemon juice in ours. So for our batch, we would use, 5 pounds of plum tomatoes, 6 peppers, 4 to 6, depending on the size. 3 cucumbers. We like to peel and seed the cucumbers. And, of course, take the seeds out of the peppers. 3 small red onions. The juice of 3 lemons. We'll put cilantro in ours, although you could use parsley. But cilantro, we give it that little kind of southwestern feel or flavor. If you don't like cilantro or can't have it, a combination of parsley and basil would work well. Or just good flat parsley. Now, we'll use garlic powder in ours. You can use raw garlic. We find the garlic powder is a little mellower than the punch of garlic for our guests. And we'll combine all these. And we have our cup of olive oil. And we use red wine vinegar. You want that tartness in there. And I imagine sherry vinegar would be nice also, if you like that flavor. But the olive oil and the vinegar, definitely, kind of, the olive oil, the fat, you need that to kind of spread the flavors around. It kind of enriches it. And then, of course, the vinegar, you want that little bit of sharpness in there. We'll finish at the end, of course, salt and pepper. And if you'd like it spicy, we'll shake in a little bit of Tabasco in there. Or you could use some cayenne pepper or Aleppo pepper, you know, something if you like a mild chili in there. But basically, that makes, and then we add, again, for that batch, probably almost 1/4 tomato juice. Again, you can use water if your vegetables are good and tasty. If you want a little bit richer tomato flavor, a nice tomato juice would be good in there, too. So that kind of, again, you can have variations on it as far as the amounts and the types of vegetables. Again, the simplest one would be tomato and maybe some red pepper, and then garnish with the other chopped vegetables. It's up to you, but a gazpacho, easy to make ahead, easy to store. And when you're serving it, remember to stir it up. A lot of times some of the tomato pulp will float to the surface with the oil, and you want to mix it back up together so you don't get some that's too thick and some that's too thin. So, all right, so we have, so gazpacho, there's a nice soup or salad, good first course, good main course. If you want to garnish it up again with some hard-cooked egg, you want a little, add a little protein to it. It also makes for a nice dressing, if you want, on some greens. So all your vegetables are there. You could have some, if you have, say, some nice butter lettuce or something that maybe you've harvested, or you've found some nice little fun lettuce, not just your standard green leaf or red leaf. Romaine would work, but you want a soft lettuce. And this this soup, if you will, could become a sauce. I've liked it. I've actually warmed it up and served it with fish. You know, it's a shame, not a shame to cook gazpacho. It kind of, is a different flavor, but if you wanted, say, a warm dressing for fish, it'd be perfectly good for that. Now, for our vegetable slaw, and again, we do this with several types of vegetables. Cabbage is the base, of course, green cabbage. It's still harvested in the summer. And you slice it thin, or you could even shred it on the, here's where I use my box grater. But you want a nice, long, thin shred. Then we use zucchini, and the zucchini will cut in half lengthwise, and with a teaspoon, scoop out the seeds, and we'll shred that on the box grater. You could use a mandolin if you want a little bit larger shred. But we use the box grater. So, a couple of squashes, a couple of yellow squash, same thing. You don't have to peel them, but you want to take the seeds out. You'll need a cup of, so 4 pounds of cabbage, 2 zucchinis, 2 yellow. This is kind of a big recipe, but you could cut it in half easily. A cup of chopped scallion. That's, of course, our mild onion flavor. We want 2 cups of shredded carrots. And you'll get a couple of green peppers. And you can shred the peppers on the box grater. Get nice, firm green peppers. What will happen, you will get a lot of liquid out of them, and that kind of helps flavor the dressing. So when you're shredding these, do it over a bowl and save all the liquid. All that nice vegetable flavor goes in there. Now, for a wild card, of course, radishes work well, shredded or matchsticks. A turnip, if you like them. The jicama would be fantastic in there. We'll use that when they're around, nice and crispy and firm. So mix up, you want at least 4 or 5 vegetables in there. And now our dressing, for this size batch, 3 cups, we use rice vinegar. And we use seasoned rice vinegar. That's got a little bit of salt and sugar in it. Only 1/4 cup of canola oil. We do put sugar in this, 1.5 cups of superfine sugar. You want to dissolve that sugar in the vinegar. Make sure it's near. Don't see any little granules floating around. 3 tablespoons of cilantro, 1.5 teaspoons of salt, and 1 teaspoon of black or white pepper. But I would make the dressing and then pour it over the vegetables, toss it around, and you could serve it right away, but it will get better as it sits and kind of, it's almost like a quick pickled vegetable. We've got a break for some messages now. We'll be back at the table and look at some other hot weather food. Chef Bill's Table.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hello, this is Nicole Smith, host of Happy to Help. Would you like to discover the secret to happiness? I talk to volunteers, executive directors, fundraisers, and authors about how nonprofit engagement enriches their lives. We thrive when we have a sense of purpose in our lives. Philanthropy is the new community. Tune in to Happy to Help every Wednesday at 10 a.m. to discover how to find your purpose and live well by doing good.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Back at Sheffield's table here, WHCR-DV. So what else? Oh, I had interesting grilled vegetable the other day at a restaurant. Because we like to, of course, grilled vegetables are always a nice accompaniment to your summer repertoire or whatever you're cooking. You know, there's, of course, the eggplant, zucchini, there's peppers, there's even potatoes if you like to grill them. There were green and yellow beans. Call them pole beans, which is what they are. They grow up the pole, right? And don't often take the green beans on the grill. Of course, they're thin. You don't want them to fall through. We do grill asparagus, which is very popular. We use it year-round at the restaurant. These grilled beans were delicious. And they had, you know, little char marks on them. So I guess, you know, if you're careful, you lay them across the grates there and, you know, just kind of roll them a little bit just like you would asparagus. They come out beautifully. So they do need to be blanched. A lot of times green beans, unless they're the very, very thin haricot vert, the regular green beans, they do need to cook a little bit. And I know sometimes even serving them as a vegetable hot, it almost reaches that point where they lose some of their color. So these you blanch, I would say 5 minutes. You want them to still be a little crisp or undercooked in the middle. And, of course, you drain them. And then this was served with a charred lemon vinaigrette. And charring the lemon, I've seen it, had seafood garnished with it before. Charring the lemon you could do in a pan or in the oven or on the grill. It helps kind of sweeten the lemon juice, just like when you're grilling any kind of fruit. It kind of brings out any sugars that are there. It's really good. So with your beans, you would leave them whole, nice and long. Usually when you serve beans as a vegetable, you need to cut them so they're easy, you know, put on the plate and eat. But these are like finger foods, kind of like the American version of the steamed edamame that you get in sushi places. You steam them in the pot, of course, and you're squeezing out the beans that are inside. But these, of course, you eat the whole thing. And it was just nice. It was a nice plate. It was offered as a side dish, but I actually got it as a pre-meal, like an appetizer snack type of thing. I wanted, you know, something vegetable. I said, I haven't had these before. And little salt and olive oil, and squeezed the charred lemon over it. You could make a vinaigrette with the charred lemon, but I think even simpler, use your good olive oil, salt them. You need some salt. And with the lemon, they're very addictive. And you just, they're finger food. You pick them up and, you know, you of course, trim the ends off of them and have them blanched and then on the grill, and they could be served hot. They could be served at room temperature. One of those nice things that is not sensitive. There's nothing really going to spoil on them. You know, you can leave them out for a couple of hours. It's not going to, there's no proteins on it, so nothing bad's going to happen. You want them still a little bit firm. You don't want them limp. So you can pick them up. They still got a little bit of a crunch to them, but that the grilled flavor and with the charred lemon on it really worked well. Something to try. And speaking of green beans, of course, one of my favorite summer salads is a potato, tomato, and green bean with a vinaigrette. again, no mayonnaise. You can one of these things that can stand the heat, right? And especially when the tomatoes are nice and ripe. And I would cut them into wedges, the tomatoes. For this one, the potatoes I would use would be the, I like the waxy potatoes, the Redskin, Red Bliss, or if you can find another variety that's waxy. This way the dressing's not going to soak in too much. And these potatoes would be steamed or boiled, and then you could slice them or quarter them if you use the small ones. Leave the skin on. The skin is edible, of course. The thin red skin looks pretty, too. And then green beans that have been cooked, again, these you would steam or boil until they're almost fully cooked. Again, you can leave them as crunchy as you like. But, you know, the flavor of the green bean comes out better as you cook it. Raw green beans don't have a whole lot of taste. Once you, it's one of those, like, raw broccoli is fine for, you know, some people or some purposes, but once you start cooking it, you know, that true flavor comes out. And so this, again, some sliced onion, your favorite vinaigrette. It could be either with a red wine or a cider vinegar base. Our herb vinaigrette at the restaurant, we use both. We use the red wine and the cider vinegar. So it's got, you know, the flavor and the heft of the red wine, but it lightens it up a little bit with the cider vinegar. And toss these together. Again, you know, if you're dressing, you could have a little minced garlic in that, a little shallot if you like, but definitely, you know, shifting out some fresh basil in there, some fresh herbs, flat parsley, salt and pepper. And it's a nice combination, a nice potato salad with a vinaigrette, and you've got two other great summer vegetables in there. Take her down to Mexico, she said, Wallo, Guadalajara won't do. If you're looking to make pickles, of course, we did that vegetable slaw. And you can kind of pickle any vegetable. We do a cucumber pickle for our sriracha stir fry, but we've done other ones, especially in the fall, we'll do with the root vegetables. And again, your proportions. You could use your rice vinegar if you like, or just your plain white vinegar. But we would take 1.5 cups of vinegar and a cup of super fine sugar. Let it dissolve in there. Some finely chopped red onion, either a small red onion for this or half of one. Just want that for some flavor in there. 1/4 teaspoon of salt and 1/4 teaspoon of crushed red pepper. You want to put a little heat there. And this would be enough for maybe 4 cucumbers, let's say. And we'll do, you can leave the skin on. You can stripe them with the peeler, you know, so it's a little, looks a little fancier. You can peel them if you like. We do the slices and leave the seed in, although we've done them where we take the seeds out and then slice the little half circles there. It all depends on what you like. The seeds aren't bad in there. I put a little crunch, but that's a pickle that overnight, within a few hours, the cucumber starts to absorb the flavor. It will stay in there. It's different than making a pickle where you boil the brine and pour it over. The cucumber will maintain its color for a few days, and even as long as a week, they will, you know, of course, intensify in flavor. Maybe get a little softer, but they hold up well. The acid keeps the vegetables a little bit firmer. So all sorts of things that we can do here without a lot of cheese and mayonnaise, things like that. Oh, by the way, the frying the fish, forgot to mention, if you're looking for gluten-free, chickpea flour, and probably, you know, in older times, that was probably the flour that was used. Now, that has, of course, it's gluten-free. If you want to do a mixture of that, or just use the chickpea flour, because that makes that nice dish we talked about, the soca, the little pancake that's crispy. But chickpea flour would be a great way to get a nice crisp texture on your fried fish and have it be gluten-free. I know in the restaurant a lot of times we'll use cornstarch, or if we have some masa, the masa harina, the fine ground corn, to coat, you know, say if we have to do a francais where you dip it in the egg batter, you need some kind of flour on the fish. So we'll do the cornstarch and then dip it in the egg, and it makes a nice, a little different than using flour, but a very nice coating. And, of course, a beverage for the summertime. I mean, we find now anytime sangria, people enjoy. It's, you know, kind of like a homemade wine cooler, if you will. Of course, most wine coolers now are malt beverages, not really wine. So sangria, classic, nice way to lighten up a dry red wine. Sometimes red wines in the summer, you know, unless it's a Beaujolais or a rosé, people might tend to shy away from them. But for this, for a bottle of dry red wine, you'll need, it would take a half a lemon, cut into thin slices, a half an orange, and half an apple. And you could increase the fruit if you like, but basically this will be enough. Or maybe we'll make it with these halves here and then use the other ones to garnish. And you need a quarter to a half cup of superfine sugar. And I would start with a quarter cup with these fruits and the bottle of dry red wine. And depending on the sweetness level that you like, or the dry, the wine's going to be dry, but how much fruit is in it, you may add a little bit more sugar. You also need 2 ounces of brandy. So here's what happens. So you're taking wine, and we're going to, this will be enough to cut with about 24 ounces of either club soda or seltzer, which you want to add at the end. But you macerate the fruit in the wine and the brandy with the sugar. Again, you can make it ahead. And then at the end, when you're serving, add your ice and your club soda or seltzer to give it that nice effervescence. You have yourself a nice wine cooler. So you're diluting the wine, but you're adding brandy, so it still is, you know, it's not a high alcohol drink, but, you know, probably the strength of a light wine. A little more refreshing. Sometimes the heavy alcohols in the summer, you know, kind of weigh you down also. You want to keep it light. We've got a break for messages here from sponsors, and we'll be back and talk about a nice summer grill, the Speedies. Speedies from Southern Tier of New York State. Chef Bill's Table.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design.
This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
Get into it.
Everybody right there.
Get involved.
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Table. Chef Bill's Table at WHCRDB. So we've got some nice accompaniments for our hot weather, and I'm going to grill some Speedies. If you've heard of Speedies, if you're in the southern tier of New York State, of course, Binghamton in that area, you would know them well, or even from New York, from Syracuse, where I'm from, the New York State Fair always features them. Salamita Brothers. Historically, was always had a stand there. So, what is a Speedy? And we know of Italian. We have the spadini. You have the the cheese that's on a skewer, things like that. It's a skewer, but it's not really a kebab, as it were. Kebab, you know, we thread things onto a skewer and grill them, and those are all well and good. The Speedies need to be marinated, and I mean for a long time. It gives them the flavor. And it started by a couple of places there. They would traditional was lamb to use for it. And lamb's a little expensive now, but still very tasty. If you like it, I think you know that that's makes the best one. But the it was sitting in an acidic marinade, so it was vinegar, lemon juice, some herbs, not a whole lot of oil. And it would, of course, tenderize and flavor the meat. And over a charcoal grill is, of course, the best. You want that. You want the meat to char a little bit. And then it was either eaten with slices of Italian or French bread. Kind of grab the slice, use it almost like a mitt to pull the meat off the skewer. And it had plenty of flavor. You could you can serve a little bit of the marinade on the side, or another traditional would be some hot sauce, your favorite one. But really, it's just about the meats, and of course, if you have other vegetables, but you're not putting any cheese and things like that on there. Although, I think on the lamb one, a nice tzatziki would be a nice cooling accompaniment. So with these Speedies, the nice thing up even. Up in Syracuse, the grocery stores will have not only the marinades that you can buy, but they'll have meat already cubed and marinated. And usually they'll have beef, chicken, they might have pork. Chicken thigh would be probably, all-purpose would probably be the most appealing, easiest to use, and very economical. You want boneless, skinless thigh meat. Pork tenderloin. I mean, loin is okay, but I think the tenderloin would work better in this case. And very easy to cube that up. What you want is you want a good size cube, 1.5 to 2 inches, so the meat gets a chance to char a little bit before it's cooked all the way through, especially if you're doing beef or lamb. You want the cubes to be fairly large, so if you like medium rare or medium, you won't end up with meat that's too well done. Of course, with the pork, you're going to cook till at least a dry pink, and the chicken, you know, the dark meat takes a little longer than the. I've used the breast meat's fine, but the dark meat has a little more fat in it and a lot more flavor, a little more forgiving when you're putting it on the grill. And when you're marinating the red meat, the lamb or the beef, you know, 24, 36 hours, some people go longer. Use your plastic freezer bags and turn it once in a while to distribute the oil and vinegar evenly, but you want really the meat to soak up the marinade. Pork can go a fairly long time. The chicken, probably 12 hours or so. Otherwise, the acid might start breaking down the meat a little bit. Now, so for 2 pounds of meat, we have a cup of olive oil. It doesn't have to be extra virgin. In fact, the virgin oil, when it's in the refrigerator, sometimes hardens up just like butter. So we want the regular olive oil, about 3/4 a cup of wine vinegar. And for the red meat, I would use red wine vinegar. For the pork or the chicken thigh, I would use white wine vinegar. I mean, I guess you could do regular white vinegar or cider, but I think white wine vinegar would be better. And you want a quarter cup of lemon juice in there. So you've got like a 50-50 ratio of oil and vinegar. Normally a salad dressing is 3-1. This is more 2-1. So it's not as much on the oil, more about the vinegar. Now, for seasoning, of course, we need salt and pepper and maybe a little crushed red pepper in there. And then you can taste the marinade before you put the meat into it. Fresh mint, dried oregano, and good fresh parsley. Chopped flat Italian parsley for your herbs. And then, of course, garlic. So for this amount of olive oil, at least 4 cloves of garlic minced up. And if you don't want the big pieces, I mean, if you don't want the small pieces sticking to the meat, sometimes it might burn. You can always crush the cloves with the side of the knife, the thick part of the knife. Lay it down on the clove after it's peeled, and with the heel of your hand, just kind of smash it, and it'll release that flavor. Or you could use slivers, whichever, you know, if you mince it or make it into a paste, of course, it's going to spread through the dressing. You want, I think especially with the lamb, you'd want a good intense garlic flavor. And some recipes call for other herbs to go in there, and basil, thyme, things like that. Some people just use their favorite Italian dressing. But be careful with some of these dressings. You don't want sugar in there. I've seen recipes that have sugar, and that's not what we want. You don't want the sweetness in there. You want this to be about the nice herb flavor. So we have our meat. We're going to start a fire, thread it on the skewers, and go to town on your nice, whether a charcoal grill, a gas grill, and let the meat char up pretty well. Now, for bread, originally, again, it was sliced Italian or even French bread. Store bread, not the sandwich bread. You want a good bread. And again, slices of it, you could just grab the meat off the skewer and hold it with the bread. Or if you had a nice soft Italian roll, you could kind of slide the whole skewer right into the roll. You know, even, not maybe a hot dog roll. You want something better than that. I mean, I guess if you had to, you could use a hot dog roll. But something about that size or shape, good Italian roll. And slide the meat into that, and you know you don't need lettuce, tomato, or anything like that. I suppose if you wanted to, you could add those things. But really, this is about just the meat and the bread. Now, if I was to sauce this, though, I think a tzatziki would work well, and this is a yogurt-based sauce. We put some minced garlic in that, and cucumber, which we peel and seed and shred on the box grater and then squeeze out the excess liquid. And for this, you want, again, fresh mint. And I like to put a little dill. We put a little dill in ours. We serve a tzatziki with lamb chops at the restaurant. If you don't have dill, a little dill pickle juice works fine. Puts a little bit of acid, more acid in there. I mean, you got yogurt, right? It's already a cultured product. But that little bit of dill flavor works well in there. And that would be a nice, creamy, cooling sauce. Favorite hot sauces would be good. If you're using the marinade, you would save some. Don't use the marinade that the meat's been in because you're putting raw on top of cooked. So a tzatziki, a chimichurri, sky's the limit. Or splash a little gazpacho on there, right? If you like tomato. Anyway, have some fun. Cooking in the heat is kind of difficult, but you should enjoy it. And keep the food light and keep hydrated. Chef Bill signing off. We'll talk to you next week.
Want to do when you grow up? When we were young, it's a question we were often asked. As we get older, our passions become clearer, our pursuits become careers, and if we're diligent, we begin to plan for the life we want to live. That's why, at Ameriprise Financial, we ask what's most important to you. Starting with our confident retirement approach, your Ameriprise Financial advisor will ask questions that help you arrive at a customized plan that allows you to realize your goals today, tomorrow, and throughout retirement. With the right financial advisor, life can be brilliant. Call Michelle Heide and Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 16 Lee Street, Units 1B and 1C in Clinton, New Jersey. The confident retirement approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services Incorporated, a registered investment advisor.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
They answered terror with the emotional strength of American warriors.
President Trump referring to the first responders who worked at Ground Zero after the 9/11 terrorist attacks. He speaks as he signs a bill extending funding for the 9/11 Victim Compensation Fund.
This law makes permanent the financial support for families who lost precious loved ones as a result of September 11th.
While at that Rose Garden ceremony, the president also called the shootings at the Gilroy Garlic Festival in Northern California late yesterday horrific. And now reports are identifying the suspected shooter who killed three people before police killed him as a 19-year-old Santino Williams Ligon. Police say they're looking for a second suspect who in some way helped Ligon. And this is USA Radio News.
I used to wonder when I saw people going into nice hotels, really nice hotels, taking a pillow with them. That was before I got a MyPillow, because I know it doesn't matter where I'm going. Whether I'm going to a one-star, three-star, five-star hotel, MyPillow goes with me. Whether it's just overnight or whether it's on vacation. And here's the great deal about MyPillow right now. The lowest price ever offered on radio or TV. Two MyPillow premium pillows for $69.98. That's only $34.99 per pillow. The lowest price ever offered on radio or TV. And it's still the same pillow. Great pillow. 60-day money-back guarantee. 10-year warranty. And call them. 1-800-951-8175, or go to MyPillow.com, use promo code USA, click on the two-pack special, and get the best deal you've ever gotten on a good night's sleep when you get a MyPillow.
Health officials in Florida say they've detected a virus there that causes swelling of the brain and can be deadly to humans. It's Eastern equine encephalitis, and it can be transmitted to people by mosquitoes. Florida health officials say tests last week found it infecting mosquitoes in Orange County, which includes Orlando. President Trump continuing for a second day to attack Democratic Congressman Elijah Cummings of Maryland, saying on Twitter on Sunday again that Cummings' Baltimore district is a disgusting rat and rodent-infested mess. Democratic Congressman Jerry Nadler responds.
Well, the president is, as he usually is, or often is, disgusting and racist. He makes these charges with no base at all, and they are designed to distract attention from the very serious allegations about his conduct that came from the committee hearings this week.
Nadler was speaking on ABC's This Week. You're listening to USA.